This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The long-standing bonds between police and local media may be approaching something of an inflection point, as news media's largely comfortable history with the police clashes with increasing mistreatment of journalists, not to mention the murders of Black Americans captured on video. Members of the Atlanta Police Department, now fired, killed Rayshard Brooks on June 12th. His family and his community laid him to rest on Tuesday.
I look at my grandbaby right there. She looks just like him. And when I look at her, I know that he's not gone.
Among the media covering his death has been the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, where Kevin Riley is editor. Welcome to On the Media.
Thanks for having me.
In a recent column, you observed that one of the rules of thumb for journalists has been to print what you know once you find out something. But last week, we broke that rule. You were referring to your newspaper's reporting on the murder of Rayshard Brooks. How did you break the rule?
As soon as we start working on a story, we use every resource we can to find out something about the person. And in this case, we had initial information that Mr. Brooks had a criminal record. And that criminal record included some very serious charges. You know, average people can go online and find those same things out. You don't have to be a journalist. But our experience told us that we should pause for a moment and find out what was behind those charges. Members of the AJC staff pointed out that there is an impulse to criminalize the people who become victims of these situations. But we stopped and asked ourselves, what's relevant here? We needed to know a lot more than what it looked like at first glance.
What's the story you might have told if you moved immediately? And what's the story you ended up telling with deeper reporting?
Of course, if you portray Mr. Brooks in this confrontation at the Wendy's in Atlanta as a convicted felon on parole, he becomes almost a one-dimensional person. So instead, we sent reporters to local courthouses and said, let's find the actual detailed records of what happened. And here's what appears to have happened. He had an argument with his wife. He apparently grabbed his wife's wrist. That turned into a battery charge. He pulled her into another room. That turned into the false imprisonment charge. And he did this in front of her 7-year-old son. That turned into the child cruelty charge. I wouldn't minimize a difficult family argument, but false imprisonment sounds pretty serious. And it turned out that the story was just different.
You wrote that some in your newsroom disagreed with your decision. How come?
Some of the objections were really to the old report what you have when you have it. Others pointed out, well, if we put this out there, then it helps explain, perhaps, how he reacted when the officers attempted to handcuff him. And maybe that will give people a deeper understanding. I think in the end, the objections to waiting really come down to the sense of urgency that we all feel as journalists. It's hard not to give in to that. It is hard to be patient, especially when we started hearing from people in the public.
What did you hear?
People who could find that information online initially were saying, where is it? Why aren't you reporting this? It's not up to you to decide what we should know. I think people interpreted what we were doing as somehow withholding information. I understand that. I mean, people are used to media that wraps things up in a half hour. You know, they watch an episode of some crime show. And in a half hour, everything's neatly figured out. And we're not comfortable in the media or as a society saying, well, let's just wait a second. This sounds complicated. Maybe we need to know more. That's just not the answer we seem to be looking for in these kinds of cases. I did hear from a number of people who believed we had done the right thing. You tend mostly to hear from people who are upset or disagree with what you're doing. And to hear from a significant number of people who said, I appreciate it, that was heartening.
Law enforcement, whether the local police or the FBI, sometimes have their own agenda when it comes to feeding stuff to the press. They may want to flush out a suspect or something else. Do you feel that maybe the manipulation that comes with the deal of getting stories from the police can't be tolerated anymore?
I think police are under the same pressure that we find ourselves under in the media, which is the public wants answers and they want them like right now. There's not an acceptance if an investigator, a police chief, the DA stands up at a news conference and says, I'm really sorry, everyone. This is going to take some time. I think that's at the core of this. How many mistakes have we seen in rushes to judgment? It happens over and over again. At some point, we have got to stop doing that to ourselves.
Absolutely. But I noticed you sidestepped part of my question, which was about the potential for being used.
I think it's a simple answer. We have to be skeptical of what law enforcement tells us and check on it and not always take it at face value. And I do think there's a danger in the traditions of journalism to give the benefit of the doubt to law enforcement because they've got things on paper. They have made an official announcement. They have filed a report. So there's a seriousness to that that I think we take into account. But just as with any information, it's the journalist's job to check it out.
When the criminal justice system approaches African Americans, it often behaves differently, charges more, imprisons more, treats more disrespectfully African Americans than whites.
And many white people have not been aware of that, neither the facts nor the feelings. And until we can come to terms with both of those things, I think it will be very hard to look at things like reforming police or really coming to an understanding of how the system works for black people versus white people.
So for as long as you're at the AJC, there'll be some reporting before the victims' encounters with the police hit the paper.
I think we owe it to our community to tell the most complete stories that we can. That's what we'll try to do.
Kevin Riley is the editor of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Kevin, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Coming up, the unreality of the reality TV show, Cops.
This is On the Media.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.